So we're back in session. Start with any questions or comments or feedback from Victorville, Ms. Cox.
Thank you, Chair Humphrey. I just have some concern based upon what staff had pointed out earlier that we have 10 vacancies. We've lost some senior folks and some others due to retire. I'm concerned about adding additional workload to some of the work that has to be done, our core regulatory and other priority programs. So for now, I think that would be my comment.
Mr. Dias?
No questions, thank you.
Mr. Sandell?
I don't have any questions. I do have the sort of the general comment, which kind of seems to be the theme of the evening, that is looking at the key efforts two pages. This is an awful lot of work for somewhat depleted staff. It's going to be difficult to do justice to these. I think that's all I have for the moment.
Dr. Horn?
Thank you. I'd first like to say by congratulating the staff on getting an incredible amount of work done under difficult circumstances with a lot of vacancies. I am very concerned that there are 10 vacancies right now. In now 14 years of being on this board, I can't remember ever having anything like that number of vacancies. So I heartily endorse that is a high priority for this year to fill all those positions. But I'm very concerned that we have 10 vacancies. And congratulations on surpassing the number of inspections. I think that's fabulous. So I just want to comment generally about this exercise. This is something that we started when Ms. Kuyumjin came in as the executive officer. And as a board member, I find these annual reports from the staff extremely helpful. There were entire programs I knew nothing about before we started doing this. And I have shown this entire package, not this year's, but in previous years, to regional board members in other regions, and their jaws drop because they say, we wish we got this information from our staff. They have no clue. What they don't have any kind of insight into the complete work of the staff that we have, thanks to these reports. So I'm sure it kind of feels to the staff like this is one more thing on top of everything else I have to do. But from a board member, I want you to know that as a board member, I greatly appreciate it and it's very helpful. So thank you for that. I also want to say, I hope you will think about this not as, I hope you don't sugarcoat things when you describe your programs to us. We understand that you don't have the resources you need to do the work that you have. Tell us that. Don't sugarcoat it. We won't think less of you if you can't get the work done because you don't have the staff you need or the resources you need to do it. But it would be very helpful to us to be able to advocate for you when we are in Sacramento talking to other people. Give us information that helps us advocate for you. Because I know you work hard, and it's frustrating to have more work than is humanly possible to do. And help us figure out how to make the case for you, please. Workshop topics. I think in general, the proposed list looks good. I was glad to see, so we already dealt with, which one was it that we checked off our list last year? We identified three areas for workshops last year. We got one of them done, and the other two are on the list for next year, which are the wastewater treatment facility update and the land disposal facility update. I'm really looking forward to those two workshops. I'm also very much looking forward to the federal land non-point source pollution general order, because that will really help use staff resources more efficiently. I would like to ask, I don't think this is a workshop necessarily, but I hope that in the November board meeting we could have a report from the Truckee River Watershed Council. Sort of a final report on the pilot project with the SEP program, because now they have spent all that money that was in the pilot program, and it was a pilot program, and so I think it would be good to have them give an evaluation to the board now that all of this money has been spent. How well did the program work? If there are things they could think to improve, if there were benefits that they hadn't anticipated that resulted, just kind of to bring closure to that pilot project. I think it would be good for the board to get to hear all that from the Truckee River Watershed Council. Swamp, I'm very concerned about the swamp program. It's really important to this region because we have so much land area that we don't really, it's hard to know what's going on. It's really critical for us to be able to at least get a pulse on the water quality in our region. And there's been a lot of staff turnover. I don't have a good feel for where the swamp program is right now, and so I'm just wondering if that workshop could be scheduled any earlier. Key efforts. I like all of the priorities under protecting human health, especially the general order for dairies, the priority for groundwater remediation at LACSD 20 and in Barstow, and the Barstow perchlorate feasibility study. Regarding climate change, I would request that we change the name of that to climate change adaptation and mitigation strategy. So it's not what we do to prepare our region to adapt to climate change, but for us always to be thinking creatively about whether there are ways we can go about our business that actually help mitigate climate change, because we need to be doing both. And we don't want to, I would just want us to be making sure that we're not imposing requirements that actually make it more difficult for other regulatory agencies to do what they need to do to mitigate or adapt to climate change, so that we're all kind of working together. Other priorities, where does enforcement fit under key priorities? It wasn't on the list, so I was just kind of curious about that.
I don't think it's called out specifically, but it's embedded in some of the things like requiring groundwater remediation, LACSD 20, Barstow. It's not, the word enforcement's not used, but it's embedded in what we're doing. So it's sprinkled throughout, just we don't have a header for it, or it's not called out, but
all
it's.
Right. Thank you. And then the other thing was stormwater. I mean, this is an important component of the water action plan. So I was just wondering where that is. And I'm also concerned because, for a couple of reasons. One is the statewide permit really doesn't fit the hydrological conditions in the South Lamont region very well, and I don't know what we can do about that. But it's important. I mean, given particularly how it's so important for capturing and recharging groundwater and reinfiltration. I mean, it's particularly in the South Lamont region that's really important, and so it's important to have a policy that works for that hydrological region. And then the lack of having enforceable permits in Antelope Valley because there are no waters of the state there. So we have to figure out, or no, there are no waters of the U.S. there. That's, now I've said it correctly. That's a serious problem because that's one of our major population areas. So we need to get a handle on that somehow. And I have other questions, but I've talked long enough, so I will stop talking now. Oh, actually, I'm going to ask my question now that I look at what they were. Sorry. So one question I had was, which of the statewide water quality policies are likely to have a significant effect on Lahontan resources?
Give me a second. Let me flip over to them.
Okay, and if you find the page, if you could.
Yes, I will. It starts on base 10 5-59. Okay. And some of these state summaries on, I know they're stalled a little, some of them are stalled a moment at the state board, but so let me go through them. I'll tell you the ones I think off the top of my head, or you can help me. I think we're going to have a fiscal impact on this. The bacteria standards, for sure, because it would change our basin plan. And if we have to rewrite our basin plan, that will be an impact on us for staffing to change the basin plan. But it's still draft before the state board consideration is out for comment. Flip some of these. We are actually involved in the mercury objectives, but in terms of fiscal impact on this, I think very minor. Okay. More so in the urban areas, and you're going to see that. Although you see this blue-green algae action levels, although the state board, that one's not moving as quickly, and you'll hear more about this in the swamp update, we staff are heavily involved in all aspects of those kind of issues. Didn't realize I didn't have my microphone. My apologies. Let's see. I mean, but right, you want to have the description. Right now, we're spending an awful lot of time on this 401 dredge and fill policy and procedures. That'll be before the board, and depending on how the state board decides, that could impact us on a policy level.
As the discharges for dredged and filled material?
Yeah, if the universe of what we get to cover under waters of the U.S. is smaller than what we would like, if that's what the final decision is, I guess indirectly it could have a fiscal impact on us because it might be inconsistent with our basin plan. Stormwater construction general permit reissuance? No, not so much for us. So not a lot of them have a huge fiscal impact on us. The bacteria, I'd say, is probably the most. The dredge and fill is in second place. But some of the ones that have been enacted in the past will. The climate change resolution that was just adopted will have an impact on us because we're asked to do many tasks.
Thank you, that was very helpful. Another question was, might any of the statewide policies that have largely been designed for other regions, is there potential for them to fit the Lahontan region poorly? And as I was looking through this, off the top of my head, I was just wondering about the discharge of dredged or filled materials and also the waste discharge requirements for wineries, because we don't have a whole lot of wineries. But, and also our wineries are they're very different in nature than, you know, wineries in the big wine production areas. So I was just wondering, you know, kind of is there, are there ones where we can anticipate there's going to be a misfit for our region?
Regarding wineries, for the longest time, that was not on our list whatsoever, and we were rather resonant about saying we don't have any wineries in our region, but we have discovered we have a handful down south.
Yeah.
So that's why I added it to the list. Yes, that general order will be based on some of your bigger wineries that are in Napa and the Central Coast and other areas. We just have anecdotal information about our wineries just from Amy, you're in my drive looking at them. There were just a handful of them, and they were rather on the small side. So I'm not sure how this will impact our region. But the whole Dredgenville waters of the U.S., I think, is all in flux now with changes at the federal government level. So there may be a whole re-exploring of that. I was going to cover that tomorrow in my presentation on the changes from the federal government level. But there are already legislation being introduced. There's no backsliding on the federal requirements, so that could have an impact on us. I think this year, legislatively, is going to be rather robust, and I'm not sure what's going to come out of that that's going to affect us. So I'm just saying the dredge and fill world, the definition of waters of the U.S., I think is in flux.
Yeah, right. Okay. And then I just have one comment, as I appreciated the addition of the write-up on unaddressed needs. That was really helpful, so thank you for that, too.
And Dr. Burnham, if I just answer one of your earlier questions regarding requesting the Truckee River Watershed to come, that is actually, although not in this list, on our calendar for this year already.
Right.
And I think it's in the summer.
I hope not.
Maybe fall.
Can't
okay.
No,
well,
it wouldn't be. It would be September. No, it's November.
It's November.
November.
It is. That's the next time we're talking.
Right.
Yeah. So November. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Good. All right.
Yeah. The other Ash question you had was regarding can we move up the schedule in Swamp, and so I will talk to. We'll reassess it and see what we could do.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Given
the workload
issues. Yeah. Understood. Yeah. If I could say. Something on that.
Sure.
So good evening, Dan Sussman, Chief of the Planning and Assessment Unit, which includes Humidale Basin Planning and Swamp. The Swamp right now has been in flux. As mentioned, we brought our contractors on as staff. We've lost our coordinator, Tom Sook. Kelly Huck is now our coordinator for Swamp, and we have the senior ES position backfill forthcoming. We do have some changes to our Swamp program as a result. We're going to be incorporating bioassessment and that and some of our other things. But for now, Swamp operates on these 3-year contracts, and a lot of what we do in Swamp is kind of dictated or put into not quite stone but close to it. At the beginning of that period. And so a lot of these changes happened right then. And so a lot of what we're doing for this next 3-year period is to continue with, aside from the addition of bioassessment, continue with a lot of the work that we've done in the past. During this 3-year period, though, we want to reassess our needs and with your direction and senior management's direction, some changes possibly to the program. I can see bringing something forward to you prior to the date that's on there, but the date that's on there was chosen in 2019 because as a time to really get feedback, have our staff have a chance to develop a proposal for where we want to go and get feedback to you and then respond to your feedback prior to having to put into stone where our contract money will go for the next year contract, which will be 2020 through 2023. So that was a little long-winded, but that's where we are, and I think I can work with our executives to bring something earlier as well.
Thank you.
Mr. Jardine.
Yes, I do have to say you're doing a remarkable job being so short-handed, and I do have to agree with your 2017 key efforts, prioritizing the protection of human health and aquatic life. That should be the highest priority. But to Yeah, and once again, going into your workshop and program update schedule, I am in agreement also with that. You have quite a bit. You have a lot of stuff on your plate. I thank you. And have to commend your staff.
Once again, it's good to be last. I would also tell you that I keep this agenda material handy because it's very useful for me to in answering questions that people ask me about what is this thing that you do? Do you do anything of value? And so it's really very, very useful for that reason also. It's a document which alternately makes me happy and excited and miserably depressed. So I can't imagine what it's like to actually be responsible for getting the things that are outlined here done. It's an ambitious set of proposals, and if anybody's able to do it, I think it's our staff who are just amazing people. And the one thing I do like about what's been set out here and what I see happening is this idea of setting priorities to make efforts to do things that are groundwork for the doing of a bunch of other things into the future. Faced with this huge demand, I think it would be really easy to just say, you know what, let's find a bunch of little tasks that sort of lead to their own ends, but don't go anywhere else. But let's do those because we can get that done with the resources that we have. What that does is it doesn't give you capacity or a basis a year from now, 6 months from now, 2 years from now, whenever, to address other problems or address other problems more efficiently and more effectively. I really like the approach that I think I see being taken here is to do hard work that's going to have long-term benefit and broad application. That's a courageous thing to do. It's not the easy decision. But I'm very glad that we seem to have made that decision. I also agree with Dr. Horn. If there's bad news, please share it with us. Because it's really easy sitting in these chairs to have expectations of what you all can do or what we all think ought to be done. You know, it's hard whenever I'm asked to say, what are the priorities of this big list of things? Well, they're all priorities because they're all really important. And so it's really easy for me to say, oh, and there's some other things that are of interest to me or people who live where I live or whatever. So I need to be reminded from time to time about some of the realities that you're dealing with. And so I hope you will do that. Are there any other comments from Victorville?
None, thank you.
Thank you very much. We're gonna learn how to do this in a seamless fashion. And actually, we're doing, I think, quite well for the first time that we've ever attempted this. If there are no other questions or comments, this evening's meeting would stand adjourned.
Yeah, so you're going to be...